follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
The VSiN holiday offer is here right now when you sign up for our $99 football special. You're also going to receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. You can get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, this is a limited time offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe. It is Thursdays with the Maestro. Mike Palm, VP of Circa Sports, joins us in studio. Also the host of Odds On, weekdays at 2 Eastern right here on VSiN. Greetings and salutations today, pal.
Good morning, Mitch. Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Londonderry, New Hampshire. All of our loyal family watching on NESN. Peoria, Illinois. Peekaboo, Marquee, we see you. Come by chance, Newfoundland.
Watching
watching on Rogers Sportsnet. Peach Bottom, Pennsylvania. That's AT&T in the Pittsburgh area. In Ocean Beach in San Diego, watching on Spectrum. I love it. We got Channel 66 on Cox here at Spectrum. They play it, you know, at 6 o'clock. So I'm at home sometimes getting the kids ready, making breakfast. I can watch your first hour there from 6 to 7. It's
beautiful.
Awesome.
Yeah,
it is. Oh, awesome. And we bring the fire usually in the first hour.
Congratulations. Your third consecutive year winning the
okay, nobody
best
knows
morning
about
show.
Nobody knows what you're
everybody
about
knows. Everybody,
everybody
knows.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows. In terms of raw votes, we got more than you. But anyhow, that's not important right now. How's everybody doing?
How are you? You okay?
I'm great. I can't wait for Saturday. How am I going to screw this up? How am I going to blow 7,000?
Okay, take us beyond the scene. Okay, so you want to you have a nickel.
Nickel at 14-1.
I bet
the second week of August.
Where'd you get that?
Second week of August. William Hill. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Second week of August at 14-1. I looked at the schedule, and I looked at Jack Cohn. And I said, Cincinnati is going to go into South Bend and win this game, and they're going to go undefeated, and they should make the playoffs. I mean, 14-1 is a good price.
Sure.
Things could happen. Every other conference champion's undefeated, the Power Five, they don't make it. But at least I got a shot. At least I'll have a shot to hedge. The whole crux to this now, and Paul, you texted me on Monday, and you said, here's how you should do it. And to me, this was a great moment of epiphany because I've never seen you do something this selfless before. You put together...
It's the first time ever.
It really is. You put together, no ulterior motive, a three-team parlay for me. And you said, just bet the money line, right? Oklahoma State, Alabama, Michigan. Because if that happens, if those three teams win, Cincinnati's out. I'm convinced of that. There's no way an undefeated Cincinnati is getting in over a one-loss Oklahoma State, Big 12 champion, whose loss is very credible, a game they led most of the way in Ames. Okay? You disagree with that. The whole key to how I do this is Mitch's theory, which is also shared by Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports NFL writer, and who's a regular guest on our show. He's actually going to be in studio for the first time today on the Nuts, by the way. I'm excited about that. He and Mitch both say that if Alabama keeps this game close, they're getting in as a two-loss team. That blows the whole thing out of the water.
That's not happening.
Can you guarantee me that?
Yes.
I don't know.
I also want to walk back.
So then what if it does? Then you're going to pay him back his ticket?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to owe him. Looks like I'm going to owe him dinner, too. Well, hold on. What I told you Monday also could blow up. That pays almost 5-1. Well, Cincinnati could lose.
Well, if Cincinnati loses, I was never winning the ticket anyhow.
Yeah, okay.
Forget about that. Yeah. I deserve to lose both if Cincinnati loses.
Okay.
Now, to Mitch's theory, what if I teased Oklahoma State to a pick, which is the same as the money line on the other side? I teased Alabama to 12.5, and then I teased Michigan to 5. A 6.3 team teaser I'm going to get plus 180 on, right? So it's much less of a payout, three times less of a payout. But the risk there is Michigan wins by 1-4.
Of course.
Yeah,
yes, that's
that.
A big risk.
But I don't think that's
don't
happening.
That. Or
I don't think that's happening.
No. Number one.
Don't do that.
Hold on.
Oh.
Two-loss Alabama's not getting in.
I don't know.
It's not happening.
Why did they knock? Why?
Well, Cincinnati should be ahead of them, I know. But I know. You could just start with betting Oklahoma State in the early game, money line, and then go from there. Because then Cincinnati and Alabama play at the same time.
Or I could just wait to see if Alabama loses, and then but I got to lay 450 with Michigan as the hedge, right? I could wait to see. If Georgia beats Alabama, my ticket should be good, right?
Okay.
I can't lose if Georgia beats Alabama.
So
I win 7,000. And they're a 6.5-point favorite.
If Cincinnati wins, okay. Yeah.
Give me the scenario where Oklahoma State wins, Cincinnati wins, but Cincinnati still is left out.
Well, why wouldn't it? But
no, I'm saying, like, what else has... So that means what? An Alabama win?
Alabama wins. Alabama wins, Michigan wins.
Or possibly Georgia beats Alabama on a last-second field goal, like 24-23, and Bama's still in?
I don't think so, but I worry about it, because guys like you that follow football, Frank, are telling me it's going to happen.
Right.
You're telling me it's going
to
happen.
So if you listen to Barta again on Tuesday, how can you feel great about Cincy getting in?
How about what he said? Well, 3, 4, and 5, it was close. Hard to really say anything. Why wouldn't they be ahead of Alabama already? Alabama was putrid in that loss, in that win at Jordan Air.
Why is Oklahoma State not ahead of Alabama?
They should be as well.
Yeah.
Right. They should be as well.
You really take a credibility hit, but we knew this going in. You look like a bozo if you're going to have an...
Are you talking about Mike or who?
No, the committee.
Oh, okay. Well, calm down here for a second. I was like, where are you going with this?
They look terrible. If they're going to have a team that's undefeated, 13-0, and come into the game fourth for 3 weeks in a row and beat a ranked team... And then drop? That looks bad.
You know who's still alive in all of this? Ohio State.
How so?
Because Notre Dame's out. If everybody, they will not put Notre Dame in. Barta hinted at it because Kelly left.
Right.
Plus, Mike dropped Wisconsin all the way from 14 all the way out of the top 25. You don't think that was intentional once Kelly left? They lost at a top 30 team in Minnesota, and they dropped them more than 11 spots. So now they say Notre Dame has no top 25 wins. Right?
That's a good observation.
Notre Dame's
out. That's a really good
observation.
Draw
a line through Notre Dame. If there's chaos at the top, I think Ohio State can get in here.
You need everything to happen, though.
Well,
if you're...
Georgia's in either way, right?
Right. Well, you need Georgia to blow out
Georgia
Alabama.
Georgia beats Alabama. Kick Alabama out. How about if Oklahoma State loses?
Mm-hmm.
How about... Okay, then you got Georgia. You got Cincinnati. Michigan. Who's the next team? Ohio State's 7th. Ohio State's next behind Notre Dame. Notre Dame's not getting in. They've all but said that.
Baylor has to leap Ohio State if they beat
two losses.
Oklahoma State?
Two losses, no.
Well, to Mike's point, if that stuff happens and Michigan loses at night, you're going to have 11 two-loss teams. It's good luck.
Right? But Ohio State has wins. Yeah. You know, Ohio State has a big win over Michigan State's still ranked in the top 10. They beat them by a million, right?
Right.
They're going to point that out. They lost at number 2 Michigan. They lost at number 12, Oregon. By the way, I love Oregon on Friday night in this game.
Oh, you love them?
Ooh. Why aren't they the favorite?
Why would they?
If Rice Eccles is worth 4, 5, or 6 points and they were 3, why on a neutral wouldn't they either be 1, 2, or a pick? That makes no sense. They got humiliated on national TV.
Yeah.
I know they're not a great team, and I'd argue they shouldn't be in the top 4. I think they win, and they win handily Friday night here in Vegas. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Right. So bottom line, as of right now, how are you going to hedge the ticket, or do you let it go?
I don't know. I'm conflicted. Who do I believe? Do I believe you? Do I believe him? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I just let it go. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bet $1,000 on Paulie's 3-teamer.
And that was, again,
base plus
480. Alabama money line, Oklahoma State money line, Michigan money line. I mean, if your theory's right, in Alabama, you know, I can't, because if Alabama loses close and I lose, I could lose it. But outrage. There has to be outrage.
Yeah,
but it might force Luke Fickell to Notre Dame, right? If he goes undefeated and can't get in, and they put a 2-loss team in ahead of him.
Well,
so it sounds like you don't think Iowa keeps it close against Michigan either.
How can they? They need everything to go
there.
We'll get into this in no high pressure. I mean, Frost again gives them the game.
I know.
They're down 21-6, and they kick a field goal at the end of the third. I'm thinking, what's Ferentz doing here? Has he got Iowa on a teaser? What's going on? Right?
They
win the game.
Yeah. He was great after the game. Can you imagine if you bet us and we were down 21-6? What would that have paid? Not bad. That's right.
Meanwhile, I never got that game. It was 4. Yeah. And then they said Martinez is out. It goes to Picton. They bet Nebraska back to their favorite 1.5, 2.
Right.
I was playing for a chance to go to the Big Ten title game. And if you think about it, if they don't blow that game at home to Purdue, this Big Ten title game is a play-in game to the player.
You're
right. They're a one-loss team, too, with a credible loss at Wisconsin.
Yep. For sure it is.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm with you. I don't think they move the ball. I think it's a tough matchup.
They can't move the ball.
I don't see
it. They can't run the ball, and Petras isn't good enough.
No. Yep.
And Michigan,
playing indoors favors the speed in Michigan, too.
And Michigan, they dominated Ohio State. They killed them in the trenches.
On the lines. That's what I said to them all. They beat them on both lines.
Oh, yeah, dominated
them. This wasn't about just weather. They beat them on both lines.
Yep. Okay, so Circa Survivor, $6 million on the line. We're down to 28 people. For the record, 0 entries remaining have the Cowboys. All 28 have the Saints.
Now, yes, that's correct. But let's go to the favorites this week, right?
Yeah,
of the 28? Who's the biggest favorite? L.A. Rams, 13? Nobody has the Rams left. Let's go to the next biggest favorite. Let's say Indianapolis and KC are both nine. Indianapolis, one person has the Colts left. KC, eight do, but are you saving them for the last week? Tampa Bay is 11. Seven people do, but are you saving them for the last week? Philadelphia, everyone has available. They're a seven-point favorite at the Jets. Will we see Philadelphia again? That was the biggest knockout this past week, them losing to the Giants. But I think we see some Philadelphia this week again, right?
Okay. Yeah. We're also going to see, like, 10 people have the Vikings. I don't know if all 10 will use the Vikings. It is.
But here's the thing. Remember the Lions pulled out all the stops against the Rams? Everything went their way. They still lost.
Correct.
They no-showed the next week against the Eagles. Had the Bears beat. Campbell calls it two-time. It looks like another one of these letdown spots for him, right? How many emotional, gut-wrenching things can you go through for the Lions?
It really has been. I looked at that, I think, Tuesday night. It's every other week with this team. Have a shot, next week blown out. Have a shot, next week blown out. Arizona has 17 left. They're a big favorite. But Christmas is its own week here.
Yeah, don't you have to save them?
At this point.
Who are you saving? Are you saving the 49ers on that? We thought for a while Tennessee over the 49ers would be the obvious play.
Now it's flipped.
Right? How many have Green Bay? I didn't even look.
I think it was 12 or 13.
Play Green Bay against Cleveland right now. The state of Cleveland?
It's going to have to be Baker, the play, I think,
I don't know. Why aren't they going to Case Keenum? I don't get it.
No kidding. I found something interesting. There's a guy with two entries still alive. He doesn't have any of the teams on Christmas, but he has Tennessee and San Francisco.
So he can do the double option, actually. If he can get there, he's in good shape.
He's got to do it.
Yeah,
he's there.
I think he has to.
Is that one person with both teams? That's pretty strong, then.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll continue with the maestro, Mike Pullman, studio. Silver medal winner here with the Mitchies. I don't know who runs the account, by the way, the Twitter account, the bad Pete Moss, who does the awards every single... But he took second place. Congrats on a second place finish, Mike. I know you're very thrilled about that today. No hyperbole. Five biggest gaps of the previous week coming up next. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, every single Thursday during the football season. Here we go with the maestro himself, Mike Palm. The five biggest gaps of the previous week in no hyperbole.
All right, let's start out with number five, the farewell tour for the two rats. We all know that Mike Krzyzewski, we have to go through this endless celebration of his life. He should take Pete Godette with him since he tagged the 20 losses on the year he was too tired. But how about his protege, Bobby Hurley? I think this is his farewell tour in Tempe as well. What a game last night. They hosted, in a Pac-12 game, Washington State. You mentioned this in the good for the book, bad for the book, whatever that segment is that you do. That win-lose. How about this? The first half total was 65. 28 points, 18 to 10. Listen to this. The final, 51-29. But listen to this. At the 17-10 mark of the first half, 3 minutes into the game, the score was Washington State 10, Arizona State 3. With 6:02 to go, it was 10-5.
They
played over 11 minutes with only 2 points. Think about that. This was their, as you said, the lowest number of points that they've scored in the shot clock era. You have to go back 75 years to find a game where Arizona State scored fewer points. They were 12 of 57 from the field, 3 of 26 from 3. They were 0 of 6 from the line in the first half, 2 of 2 in the second half. Think about this. They missed 12 of 15. They missed 45 shots. They only had 10 offensive rebounds. That's not too good, is it? They were booing this whole game. There was only 14,000 people, 7,000 people in the stands, less than 40% attendance. They were booing the whole time. You know, Hurley, 9 seasons as a coach, has never even made it to the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
He's too worried about yelling at the officials, right?
Yeah.
Time to go. Bye-bye, Rat. Uh-huh. Dad Rat and Son Rat.
Can you imagine what that was like to watch in that 10-minute stretch where they scored 2 points?
My God.
Oh.
I couldn't believe it. Amal was tweeting about it. Are you watching this game? And I said, Amal, come on, get some votes. All right. Number four, when the frost is on the pumpkin. Friday's clash between Iowa and Nebraska and Lincoln was the most watched event in Big Ten television history on the Big Ten Network. Most watched event ever. A standalone game, a huge game. Iowa, 9-2 and playing for a chance to represent the West in the Big Ten title game against to 3-8 Nebraska. This game, as I mentioned, opened 4, down to a pick with Martinez out, and then they bet Nebraska to favoritism. Kirk Ferentz, at the end of the third quarter, kicks a field goal to make the score 21-9. Mm-hmm. Okay, the game turned on a blocked punt. Iowa, I got a field goal, a blocked punt, a safety, a field goal to tie it, and then a touchdown to win it. I want you to take a look, folks, at this formation for the punt, okay? This is the blocked punt that turned the whole game here. The blocked punt, it's set up for a right-footed rugby-style punter, Daniel Cerny. That's what the projection was set up for. They blocked to the right. They blocked everybody to the left because the punter is going to roll to the right and kick, right? Except they forgot to tell the team that they had their left-footed traditional-style punter, William Brestrup, on. So they flushed the rushers right into this left-footed kid who was going to kick it straight. They did everything what they were supposed to do in the blocking, but they had the different punter back there. They had punt protection called for the other punter, the right-footed rugby-style kicker. He refused to hire a special team coach.
Yep.
I couldn't even add up. It was something like 73 points difference because of special teams this year to Nebraska. They lost a minimum of 5 games because of special teams.
Mike, how about the margin of victory? They went, 1-8 in Big Ten play?
Yeah.
Okay, the margin of victory was 0.
Yeah.
Because they beat Northwestern
by 49
points.
Because they beat them by a million. Yeah. That's good. They didn't give up a first down to Michigan State in the second half and lost that.
Yes.
Special teams. Think about that. But how about when they took his salary down and they made him fire this and that coach? Why didn't they make him hire a special teams coach if they were going to do that? Okay, let's go to number 3. Look at me. I'm Sean Hockley. On Thanksgiving afternoon, the country was marred by the absolute flag fest that occurred at Jerry World. The game was set to feature the 7-3 Dallas Cowboys in the NFC's Eastern Division versus the 5-5 Las Vegas Raiders from the AFC's Western Division. Instead, it featured these men. Sean Hockley's crew. 28 flags. Enforced penalties. 14 on either side. The Dallas Cowboys set a record, all-time franchise record, with 166 penalty yards. I don't want to get into the calls, but all this pass interference. How about the roughing on Micah Parsons when Carr stumbles into him, hits his helmet on his knee, and his hand hits the helmet on the way down, and they call roughing. I mean, it was a joke. Jerry Jones said it was a joke. Mike McCarthy didn't want to comment. He should have. He could have gotten suspended while he has COVID. But anyhow, at the end of the day, this is a joke for us to have to watch as a country and changes the results of the game. I have a do you concur for the two of you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The Big Ten does a better job officiating football than the NFL. Do you concur? Tough question. But look at the Larry Smith crew and what they did in the Ohio State-Michigan game.
Okay.
They let these kids play.
They did.
They spot the ball quick
game.
And they get the clock moving. The Big Ten officials are the best officials in the country.
Okay.
Wow.
I, you know what?
They are.
I would not say that about every conference. Like,
no,
like
no,
Pac-12,
I would not at all.
Say,
Pac-12's awful.
Yeah, Pac-12 always awful.
And the SEC seems to bungle a few calls every year, too. Huge calls.
Yeah,
huge calls, right?
That might matter down the road. But the NFL is so bad.
Oh, they're bad. They got to fix this. But here's my example, too. Look at the Jets game against the Bengals in that helmet-to-helmet penalty that changed the game. The same thing happened in the Cincinnati-Tulsa game. In the NCAA, they can use replay and fix it. Can't do that in the NFL, right? They can't do that. The targeting, yeah, there's a lot of reviews, but they seem to be getting quicker. I think the NCAA does a better job. Okay, number 2. Went the way of the Bobo. Mike Bobo, that is. As Auburn fires offensive coordinator, former Georgia Bulldog quarterback Mike Bobo on Tuesday following that loss. Brian Harsin should have fired himself.
Yep.
Okay, he should have fired himself. Bigsby could have run out of bounds, and it would have left Alabama with less than a minute to go on the 3-yard line. Okay? Didn't do it. And then you have a chance to go for 2 at the end of the first overtime. Let's listen to Brian Harsin explain the loss.
But every game we play, we want to win. And, you know, there's not a moral victory, at least not in my book. From that standpoint, I mean, that's why you keep score at the end of the day. So we can learn a lot, and we can take away a lot of things. But at the end of the day, we want to win every single game. So that's all.
You know, the Bigsby play. He said, "Quote: Guys are fighting hard when they are running the ball for yards. Yeah. Ideally, you stay in bounds. Ideally. No, you have to. Yeah. You have to stay in bounds there." He wasn't at the sticks. Okay? You have to stay in bounds. And here's why you have to go for 2. Because you have to go on offense first in the second overtime. Two, your quarterback is hobbled.
Yep.
And three, the longer the game goes, don't you think the Alabama talent's going to wear out? He had a shot. Would anybody have blamed him for going for two in the
no
win?
No one.
They
no
ran
one.
A beautiful play to start the third overtime with the two. He had that in his pocket to
funny?
Win the game.
Isn't that funny? They
had
that dialed up and ready to go, but they wouldn't use it to win the game.
Wouldn't use it. Shame on you. I wouldn't have to sweat the Cincinnati. Or maybe I would. Maybe a two-loss SEC champion Alabama gets it. All right. And then number one, when Anthony Lynn is the best game manager on your staff. I had the turkeys on Thanksgiving with Campbell and the running and punting, and now the double time. I can't believe. How about the series in the first half? Ball. Let's start there. The series, they're up 3-0. They have the ball in the Bears 39. They go false start, holding, false start, gain four, loss six, and they end up punting, and in two plays give up 80 yards. And a touchdown. Changed the whole game. Now, how about the fact that they're up by one on the Bears 40 with under 11 to go? They go backwards 15 yards and never see the ball again. Game ends on a field goal. How about it's 3rd and 9 under the 2-minute warning, right? They run the play under the 2-minute warning.
Oh, this
it was
bad.
Second. They run
oh,
the play. Bad. They call their first timeout, right? They run the play. It's 3rd and 9. I bet Detroit in game plus $3. I said, well, it's perfect. They're going to run again, use the timeout, kick a field goal. And I've got Goff with 1:45 and a timeout to kick the ball, right? To kick a field goal to win. That's a great price. No, that's not what happened. He calls two consecutive timeouts. Let's listen to Dan Campbell.
Yeah, obviously you can't do that, but we had miscommunication. Half our secondary had one call, half had the other, and bang the timeout. It was a check by what they were doing, and so you don't get it until it's in the middle of the play. But it's something we had talked about, and so you don't get it pre-snap. It's a call, and it's got basically a check on it to what they're going to do and what they line up in offensively. Is what happened, and so we had half in one call, half in another, and so the first thing in my head is, well, we got a blown coverage, and they're about to score a touchdown, so I do it, and which you can't do, and now it's penalty, but I know that he threw it out in the flat. That was about to be a touchdown, so can't do it.
So let it be a touchdown. If they don't make the two, you go in with the touchdown. The half the team had the wrong call coming out of a timeout. This guy is a satirical character. You can't make this stuff up, what he's no. doing every week to this team.
Absolutely. He's learning on the job is a quote from
yeah.
him.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely true.
He was gonna call another one, but Nagy beat him to it.
That's right.
He would have used all three of them. Good job.
Let Anthony Lynn call the plays.
Yes.
I never thought I'd say that, but let
yes.
Anthony Lynn
call
so,
the plays.
So then what was a tougher watch for you? The early game
no,
with
the
him
Cowboys.
The or flags. The Cowboys game.
No, the
I can't stand
much,
the flags.
I'd rather see the buffoonery.
So would I. So would I.
Really? Seriously?
It's not even a contest.
I know.
Yep. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, along with the maestro Mike Palm.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. Launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from a local perspective. CityCasts in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, Philly, Pittsburgh, LA, and now New York. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast. It coming up next. Rock and roll.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1. Nope. 10-1. You're up.
Here we go. Time for In Pocket Plays. What we're betting today and beyond. I am on Western Kentucky Pick. This goes back to Sunday. It's against Texas San Antonio. Monday night, I'm on the Pats plus 3. Against the Bills, a look-ahead number, week number 14. This is the Thursday night game. I like the Vikings minus 4 against Pittsburgh. And two props tonight. I'm going to go Taysom Hill, shop around, still find 212.5. I'm going to go under 212.5 yards passing for Taysom Hill. And I will go over Tony Pollard, combined rushing and receiving yards tonight, 66.5.
All right. Very good. Good luck. Also, Western Kentucky. This is very popular. It's up to 3 now. I'm with Michael. I think Michigan buries Iowa. No letdown. I don't think Iowa's going to be able to move the ball. Oklahoma State, 5.5 against Baylor. Controlled the first game. 1-10. I know it was close, but I don't think Baylor's going to move it and score. The nasty Oklahoma State defense, and we're on opposite sides. Bills on Monday night. A little pizza money. How about first score of the game, Cowboys field goal at Bet Rivers? That is plus 420. Tonight in the Thursday night game in pocket. presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown book. Check out their daily specials posted afternoon Eastern at BetRivers.com. And you think the Cowboys rock and roll tonight?
Yeah, I do. Because when they're expected to win and everything's going good, they can't stand prosperity. We've seen that for decades with this team. Now they go against New Orleans has a lot of problems. The second, they're no secondary, and then now finally they switch to Taysom Hill. Is he going to be an every down quarterback? I don't know. They're just so decimated.
Yep.
If they could have avoided half of what's going on here, I liked my Peyton Coach of the Year bet, but that's up in smoke.
That and Winston doesn't go down with the injury.
Yeah.
That would have been nice too. Okay. So back to Circus Survivor here for a second. 28 entries remain. Again, the prize is $6 million. But you guys, Derek also threw in an extra bonus, right? Can you explain to people the Tampa Bay, Kansas City bonus here at Circa? And my question would be this. Let's say 27 people get eliminated this week. So there's one left.
Mm-hmm.
That person has Tampa Bay and Kansas City remaining.
Or Tampa Bay or Kansas
and
City.
Remaining. Do you let them play it out until week 18?
Well, they must now. They will just go on in a public workout here and post their pick every week because they got to have a shot at the extra million, right? It's not fair to deny it to them. If everybody gets eliminated before we get to the last week, obviously that bonus doesn't come into play. I think he wants to do this every year because he says you have to use one of last year's two Super Bowl teams. So this, it happens to be Tampa Bay. Could be again, but it happens to be Tampa Bay and Kansas City this year. So I think that most people have not focused on that.
Okay. We also asked you about this last week, and Andy Dufresne got a little heated. He was on, and it's about the chop business. Yeah, and he made a lot of great points here. I mean, this is just a hound's breakfast.
He's got a different perspective from where he is in life. But here's the thing in his feelings about the chop. We're paying out. You got to play it out, pay out however you do. Any deals, his feelings are any deals that would be made would be inherently unfair. Because how can you come up with an equitable deal when each person's from a different state that has a different tax rate? And most people aren't aware of the gift tax. If you give more than $15,000 in a year to another person, the giver pays a 40% tax on the money. So let's say you're the one that wins and you agree to split it with 39 other guys and you're going to give them $1.5 million, right? You're going to pay 40% tax on that other $58.5 million. How could that other be equitably distributed? I think also the point, if you're one of 40 people left that have an entry, you should be able to make some money out of this through your own betting.
Yep. Well said.
You can't get involved.
No.
There's no way that the casino running the actual contest can get involved. Because, by the way, that also means you have to trust people with their picks and what they're going to do.
There you go. Remember,
you can't do that.
Bob Dancer. Bob, he told the story on air, and I believe he was in double jeopardy. And they agreed to whack up the money, and then the guy reneged. And he won. He took it all down.
Yep.
But you can't trust people with the picks, too. I won.
There's been guys that won poker tournaments that ran out the door.
Great point.
Right? You know that?
Whack up final.
We're going to split it seven ways. The guy wins. They give him the chips, and he runs. Huh. That's happened.
Wow. Good. We got a good tweet on this. What if you use a proxy? What should you tip the proxy?
Well, you're the tipping expert.
No, not on that. Not on that one. That's, I don't know what, out of 10%, that's a tough call. You win a lot of money on 5%, I don't know.
I hate to say because it's too high or too low, right?
I guess don't know.
It's also the relationship you have with your proxy.
No,
have you used them for years?
Sure. Yep.
Have they at some point during the year bailed you out? Right,
sure.
Exactly.
And put the picks in, there's a lot to it, right.
I'll give you an example. There's one proxy here in town who told us a story, right, where one of his clients failed to reach out to him with his picks. Not the Survivor, but the weekly pick'em contest. So there's evidently a button that they can hit, like the random selector, just to make sure the person's going to get their plays in.
Like a quick pick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In a 2-week stretch, this person was 9-1. They were up for one of the quarterlies.
On the quick picks?
On the quick picks.
That's 50%.
That's found money.
Yeah.
Of course.
Come on. You fell asleep.
And if that person doesn't tip or go above and beyond to actually reciprocate that, then forget about that.
Yeah. How about they want to talk about the millions?
Yeah, absolutely. The leader went 1-4.
And still has the lead because the consensus was 1-4. And the Vikings were the sixth most popular pick. So if you want to go, the top six was 1-5, right? So Jarvis was 1-4 and still has a game and a half lead, a point and a half lead. He's 43-17. There are three contestants that are 41-18-1, a point and a half behind, right? And then there are 10 after that that are 41-19, including Hannibal Barca that sits at 41-19. On the bottom end of the scale, there are two contestants, Air Rosell and Jiggity Jack, that are 19-41. And then there are two contestants, Doc Vegas Picks and RGLMIA, that are 19-40-1. So a half game behind. Third quarter is a mirror at the top and the bottom. One player, throwing darts 14-1, 14-13-2, and at the bottom, one player trading lanes 1-14, and 14-2-13. It's an exact mirror on the opposite. Now, 2 weeks left here because this is a five-week quarter.
Right. That's a good name for a contest entry, by the way, throwing darts.
I like trading lanes.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's trading laces. I'm sorry. Yeah. Trading laces.
14-1?
14-1, and 14 behind him, one game back at 13-2.
Yep. My partner is a banker on the East Coast, smart guy. We're four out from the booby. Which is
in the quarterly or overall?
You're what? Overall.
Ooh.
Four out of the booby.
You're what?
Four.
Your partner.
Yeah.
You have how many partners do you have? Oh, okay.
No, yeah.
All right.
But this is something where this would be
sold 400% of himself in the contest.
Where it's like how many it's hard to pick losers on purpose.
Did you only get in the millions or did you get in Survivor?
No, I'm not sure. I didn't do Survivor.
You didn't do Survivor.
Too convoluted. I didn't do it. But plus, last year, I paid $500 for a hat.
Yeah.
It was
for Indianapolis.
It was out of week one. Come on.
Sour. You were sour over that. So how do you decide, though? Do you each get two picks and then, or do you go through the...
He's been handling that. But that's
yeah, right. He should. You don't really have a show about doing anything about that. So, I mean... this guy's got to have much more information.
Oh, he's very good. He's great.
I'm sure he is. Did you get in the William Hill College contest this year?
No, I didn't do it.
I wish you would have. If I didn't know what the overlay was.
Well, we told you that.
There was a big problem.
The whole thing with they couldn't get in and they didn't have the buttons, the stickers and all that.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Well, whatever.
Whatever.
What are you guys thinking for next year for the amount of entries for the Survivor? Is it going to be more than millions, you think, again next year?
Well, it should be.
Think so?
What don't you think? I don't know.
Do you think you're going to make it like $6 million again?
I don't know. This guy always wants to go up.
He does.
You know, he has two mantras in business. One is continuous improvement, and the other is a relentless positive attitude. You know, I embody the latter.
Yes, yeah, you definitely do. You know, the thing about that is, though, so what if he wants to keep making it bigger and bigger, in like 5 years, does he want to go to like $15 million?
Who knows?
If it keeps expanding, and it's going to have to touch that point.
I'd like to get it to where we can grow our base in these other states. Not saying that, because you'd have to eliminate the Wire Act to get all the states involved in one big contest, but that we have enough customer base in other states to run smaller, similar type contests. Like to do an Iowa Survivor or a Colorado Survivor.
Oh, okay.
That'd be fun.
But it wouldn't be all connected to the main one right here.
You'd have to have some laws changed there.
Biggest upset we're going to get this weekend in college football.
Hmm.
Can you see Cincinnati losing?
Well, I think Alabama, that's a big upset, right? 6.5? No, yeah, Cincinnati's not losing.
Yeah, that would qualify.
Well, you know, Holgorsen's defense is very good with Houston. You think of Holgorsen as a throw-the-ball-around-the-field guy? They've got a very good defense. That's probably going to be a loss. I can see some low-scoring championship games. I know Paul Stone likes the Alabama-Georgia game under. Amal loves it over. He says the number should be 60. Because he thinks Alabama can score 21 on Georgia.
Wow.
So you must think they could score 24 if you think he could get to 60.
Well, I would assume that he thinks Georgia's going to blow him out then and score 40?
I don't know. They're a little bit of a pedestrian offense, aren't they?
Don't you?
Georgia?
Well, don't
we're,
you think?
We're going to find out.
If they fall behind, it's the big
Well, Brent says if Alabama gets out to a lead, they're going to win the game. He said it's all going to be decided in the first quarter. Because if Alabama gets out to lead, Kirby's going to go nuts again. They're going to blow the game. But if Georgia gets to a lead with that defense, they'll win the game. It's all about the first quarter.
Alabama's going to have to be creative here. Don't even try running the football.
Well,
spread them out. Go four wide.
Auburn give them the blueprint? I mean, just the blitz, blitz, blitz? I mean, that's all they did. I don't know why. You're right. I don't know why Alabama continued to run the football in the second half in that game. Didn't make any sense to me.
Yep.
The strangest line is the Sun Belt game. They already played. Louisiana housed them.
Yep.
They're at home. They're catching points. Napier's going to coach the game.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. That
Who's Notre Dame going to get?
That's going to be Freeman.
I thought it was a done deal.
The done deal.
I'd like to see him go get Barry Alvarez. I think he wants to coach for another 10 years.
You can catch Odds On weekdays at 2 Eastern right here on VSiN. Thanks, pal.
Yeah, we got Frank Schwab in studio today. Thank you.
Cool. Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Talk coming up next.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, welcome back. Paul Charchian in a second, but first, top horse racing plays from ExpressBet editor-in-chief Jeremy Plonk. Aqueduct, race 6. He likes the 7, Big Al's Gal, at 3-1. Turfway Park Race 2. He likes the 1 on top at 8-1. Sign up with First Bet using code VEGAS1000 for an instant $10 free, plus up to $1,000 bonus. Go to VSiN.com/horses for details. VSiN.com/horses. He's a Hall of Famer. He's the best. He's on every Thursday during the football season to talk fantasy. Paul Charchian. And a question, two questions here. From a fantasy standpoint, and also if you're a GM in the NFL, what do we do moving forward on running backs? McCaffrey out for the year. Yeah. Henry out indefinitely. Cook could miss another game. Cook out indefinitely. Kamara could be out again for the 4th straight game. Zeke's banged up. Jones just got back from injury. Chubb was hurt. List goes on and on. These guys are making a ton of money.
Yes, and you know, when we looked at the fantasy first round, in addition to the guys you mentioned, Saquon Barkley went at the end of the first round. Disaster season for him. Get this. His last touchdown was week 4. The last time Saquon Barkley ran for 57 yards, which is nothing, right? 2019.
No.
I mean, it's, you know, you're getting nothing out of these guys. Cam Akers dead before the season started. J.K. Dobbins dead before the season started. The only fantasy running back sent one in the first round, and not even all these three guys didn't even all go in the first round. Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, Aaron Jones. Some of those guys lapsed into the second round. But these fantasy owners are just, they're so myopic with this belief they have to take running backs early. And all of these sure thing guys have all fallen to the wayside in key moments. And, you know, it's honestly been a disaster. Meanwhile, the 4 non-running backs that fantasy owners took on average in the first round, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs, Travis Kelce, all performing. And it's just, it's never been more obvious that fantasy owners are getting it wrong with these running backs. And to your point, Paulie, you know, most of these runners that we're talking about are expensive running backs on their second deals. You know, Zeke's second deal, Kamara's second deal, Henry's second deal, Cook's second deal, Christian McCaffrey's second deal. These guys making $30 million on their deals, and they can't stay healthy. It's part of it's just the position they play.
Yeah, you know, Charge, I've been playing fantasy football for almost 25 years now, and I've always had the philosophy, going back to like the early 2000s, to wait on a quarterback. But even back then, I was taking running backs early. It wasn't really until I heard you probably 8 or 10 years ago when you were really preaching, do the opposite. You said it every single year. And I'm like, you know what? It makes sense to me. And that's when my teams over the years have gotten so much better because I do the opposite most times. It's not even close. The frustration of going that high with running backs every single year just is, it's mind-numbing.
Yeah, it's great to have when Derrick Henry's running well.
Sure.
That's fantastic and all, but the end comes for most of these runners eventually. It's just the nature of it. And why do you put the pick that has the most equity and the most important, your first round pick? Why do you put that into the highest risk position? Meanwhile, Elijah Mitchell and Cordarrelle Patterson are rocking fantasy leagues, right? And you know, you can get help. You can get help later in your fantasy drafts at running back. You don't have to go there.
Bingo. And I know where you're going to go with this one, but as for tonight's game, and I bet a prop on rushing and receiving yards over tonight by Tony Pollard, 66.5 combined yards. You've been saying this for a long time. Just watch the games. I mean, he's clearly better than Zeke right now. So what do you think happens here in this game?
Yeah, Pollard is better than Zeke. I mean, you can look at it a lot of different ways. Pro Football Focus has Pollard ranked as their number 4 running back. Zeke ranks at 29. Pollard's ahead of Zeke in basically every rushing metric you'd want to look at. Yards after contact, packed, yards per carry, long gains, elusiveness. However you want to break it down, Pollard's better. Since week 5, Zeke's averaging 3.5 yards per carry. And he's walking into a buzzsaw tonight against the best run defense in the NFL. Saints giving up 3.2 yards per carry. That's it. Only one running back has topped 63 rushing yards in the Saints' last 6 games. And only 2 have scored touchdowns over that span. So, you know, Zeke's, he's still, I guess, the starter running in this game hurt. But I, at some point, if the Cowboys are serious about winning games, they got to flip this 70-30 timeshare around so that Pollard's getting the 70 because Zeke just isn't good right now.
Bingo. Yep. Bingo. What do you make of Taysom Hill tonight? To me, it's a total unknown. I mean, maybe he's like close to 100%, but I don't know if I can trust that.
Yeah, well, or his passing.
Yeah,
he's a terrible passer, right? You know, it's so this is the perfect example of a guy who's good at in fantasy football and not good in the real NFL. And it is in his four starts from last season, Taysom Hill was a top 10 quarterback three out of the four games. And it's because he runs. He was averaging 53 rushing yards and a full rushing touchdown per game over those four starts. And that's great. He's basically a starting running back at 53 yards and a rushing touchdown per game. It's the passing that's bad, and he only topped he topped 233 yards three times, but barely got to 233 yards. And now he's got to face Dallas tonight. This is turned into a terrific pass defense. Over the last five games, Dallas giving up 0.6 passing touchdowns per game and just 239 yards. Taysom Hill's passing is already barely functional as a passer. I think there's a chance that his passing is so bad in this game that he doesn't even finish the game, that he ends up getting yanked at some point. And that would be my worry about putting any kind of wager, bet, or fantasy action on Taysom Hill in this game, because I see him struggling so much as a passer. At some point, they may have to yank him and put Simeon back in.
Yeah. Okay. Give us some sleepers this week.
All right, I got a bunch for you. At the running back position, how about Boston Scott from Philadelphia going up against the Jets? It's the worst run defense in the league. They've given up the most rushing touchdowns. They're 26th in yards per carry. Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard aren't healthy. They're probably going to be active, but they're not healthy. Scott getting a ton of use, including at the goal line. He's 5'6", and they're running him from the 1 yard line, which is fantastic. So we'll go Boston Scott as our running back sleeper. How about at the quarterback position? Four teams on bye. Maybe you have to go a little deep. Tyrod Taylor going up against the Colts, the team that's allowed the most passing touchdowns in the NFL. And also, because Taylor's a good runner, we look at other mobile quarterbacks that have faced the Colts: Lamar Jackson, Ryan Tannehill, Josh Allen, Trevor Lawrence. They averaged combined 7 yards per carry. So if Taylor's going to run the ball, you know, 5, 6, 7 times, all of a sudden, you know, we're to a pretty good running game here for Tyrod Taylor too.
Okay. How about some other replacement running backs for this weekend in the same game?
Yeah.
Madison for the Vikings and Jamal Williams for the Lions.
Yeah, let's talk to those guys. So Jamal Williams replaces DeAndre Swift in this one, and I like him in this matchup. He got almost all of the running back touches after DeAndre Swift went down on Thanksgiving. The Vikings just got hammered by Elijah Mitchell, and maybe without both their starting tackles again in this game. So I like Jamal Williams quite a bit, and he can catch too. So he'll help you out through the air a little bit. He's my 13th ranked running back. Alexander Mattison's my 5th ranked running back against the Lions. This is a spot for Madison in his two starts for Dalvin Cook earlier this year. He was a top 10 fantasy running back in both, and he averaged 32 touches in the two games without Cook. So when Madison starts, they give him the ball a lot and averaged 162 yards in the two games. Wow. And one of them was against Detroit. This week's opponent, he put up 153 yards against Detroit earlier this year. So I love him in this matchup, my number 5 running back this week.
How long do you think Cook is going to be out for?
2 weeks, maybe 3. Maybe. And if things go badly for the Vikings, the shutdown is not impossible.
Oh, yes.
That did not look good.
That's what I'm hearing is if the Vikings, they lose the Lions here, which is not impossible. Vikings play to the level of all of their opponents. Mm-hmm. They lose. And by the way, it took a 53-yard kick with no time left to beat the Lions the first time.
Oh.
They lose the Lions. They get upset the next week. I think it's Packers after that. It wouldn't be an upset. They lose the Packers. There's a scenario where they just shut down Cook.
That 7th seed in the NFC, that could be a bad club. I think the Vikings will sneak in, but that 7th seed could be a failure.
But you know what, though? If they do sneak in,
well, I wouldn't want to play them
either. I think they're going to be dangerous.
Yeah, especially if it's Green Bay. It's a tough matchup.
Yeah,
it is a tough matchup, and they've already beaten Green Bay once.
Yep.
And
yep.
The Vikings, because you play to the level of the competition, it also means your 7th seed could play up to the 1 seed.
Very true. Very true. GuillotineLeagues.com, all your player rankings are up there every week. It's great for fantasy, but also I think you can find the write-ups that you have on so many players. To me, you can find like great nuggets in there for player props as well, Sharch.
Yeah, no doubt. The one that I'm fascinated by is Patrick Mahomes. These dud games, 4 out of the past 5 weeks, just stone-cold duds, averaging 226 yards and 0.5 touchdowns other than that Raiders game. So do you dare go back to Patrick Mahomes? You know that line gets set on casual bettors and people who just see the name Patrick Mahomes, but, man, he has been brutal over much of the last 5 weeks.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Paul Charchi, and again, GuillotineLeagues.com. Thanks, pal. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you in a week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
There you go. You scared the Vikings in this game? Can they lose a game?
No, I don't think so. They were also in total control of that first game.
They were.
It was a silly turnover, and I get a fumble.
Got away late, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Cowboys cover tonight. Longest touchdown under. Zeke under. You like Hill under.
Hill under passing yards.
Schultz over.
Yeah, I think Lamb can have a good game.
I think, yes.
Yep. Good luck betting tonight. We'll see you tomorrow.
BetRivers Sportsbook app has a huge number of live streaming events every day. BetRivers Sportsbook has great offers, including a $250 match bonus on your first deposit, and all bonuses are only one-time playthrough. Amazing offers and great customer service makes BetRivers your hometown sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. See the BetRivers Sportsbook app for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Or in Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House.
The VSiN Midseason Football Special is here. Put the VSiN betting experts to work for you from now through February for only $99. Daily best bet emails, 24/7 video streaming, betting splits for every sport, point spread weekly, plus in-depth data and analysis on VSiN.com. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe and get everything we have to offer for the rest of the football season for only $99. That's VSiN.com/subscribe.
This is Opening Lines with Jonathan Von Tobel and Matt Eumanns.
Two offensive linemen were missing for the Denver Broncos today in their win over the Chargers. It did not matter. They won outright against Los Angeles. Now they hit the road for a primetime spot against the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs look ahead 9.5 with a total of 49.5. Not surprising. No adjustment on the open. Kansas City 9.5 in this spot against the Denver Broncos.
You got one of the best underdog quarterbacks in the history of the NFL.
Teddy B.
In this game. Teddy B. I'll look up his spread records and 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 spread records and